For today, we are going to follow the theme that we've started here this morning, which is the theme of sacrifice. And in our morning studies, we've already set up, you were in John chapter 10, looking at the Good Shepherd. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13. So if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. We'll be there in just a minute, all right? If you do have a bulletin, you can open it up. And part of the text is there. We're going to read 16 verses, so it's not all printed there this morning. But as always, you can follow along on the wall if you'd like. And by the way, if you're here and you do not have a Bible, if you'd let us know, we'd love to get a Bible for you, okay, to put one in your hands, your own word that you could write question marks beside. What does this mean? Or that you could highlight, this really speaks to me, or that you could circle, or mark up, put a date beside, this is where I nailed something down. That's the way it's supposed to be used. So if you'd let us know, we'd love to put a Bible in your hands, okay? All right, so we always like to talk, or I like to talk. I hope you guys like to talk. Before we kind of get going the direction that we're heading. So I think today kind of fits really well, the theme and the day, right? I mean, when I think of a mother, the sacrifice seems to go hand in hand with Mother's Day. So there's all sorts of descriptive words we could probably use. If you were to give one word to your mother in a church setting, what would you say of your mom? How would you describe her? What's one word? Patient. Giving, loving, caring, good.
If I speak for Tracy, it's
faithful. Faithful, all right. Somebody else said one?
Praying.
Yeah. And we still turned out, right, Miss Bev? Yeah. Somebody else, when you think of your mom, what do you think of? Any of you think of sacrifice? All right. Can you remember maybe mom going without something so you could have something? All right. Some of you go way back. You could tell stories that we would all go, you really lived during that time period? All right. Things going on back then. But nonetheless, you've seen sacrifice probably that I've never seen before. And I've seen my mother sacrifice in many ways, maybe in a little different era. But I want to talk a little bit about sacrifice today. So if you were to define sacrifice, how would you define it? What's it mean to you? Sacrifice. To give all, to give up. To do without. All right, to give the best to our master. So there's a sacrifice of our best. You're saying to sacrifice for somebody else, right? And that's really the heart of that there too, is I'm giving up something, not for something, but for someone, right? That's the heart of sacrifice. And so maybe you've experienced that as you've lived with your mother. Maybe you've experienced that as a mother. So somebody giving up something to the benefit of someone else, it could be like a mom giving up a good night's sleep so that she could care for her sick child. Any of you mothers ever done that? All right. Any of you fathers ever done that? All right. So we're nodding our heads here too a little bit. A lot of elbowing going on. It can also mean to suffer loss. You know, the sacrifice of something. It's something that I've had to give up. But for our context today, what we're going to look at, it's the idea of giving or bringing something. Anytime you consider the word sacrifice, it always includes one of those two things. It's giving or it's bringing. And we'll see that to be proved true in our text here this morning. So in Hebrews 13 is where we're going to be. And we're going to find the writer here giving us all kinds of wisdom. This is the last chapter in this letter. And he's just said some things like, God has created you to be a holy people, to be a peculiar people. So that's probably not how we would like to be known. Right? Does that sound like a compliment to you? If somebody was to describe you to say, oh, she's a very peculiar person. But there should be something significant. There's to be distinct markers that sets the Christian apart from the world, that sets the light apart from the darkness. And so he's going to give some ideas here in Hebrews 13 of what some of those are. And so we'll talk through just a few of those, and then we'll get to And then we'll get to sacrifice. So among some of these things, he says, one of the markers should be that we love one another. And so people should be able to come to a room like this or come into our home. Our neighbors should see how we interact with them, co-workers, classmates, and see that there's a genuine love in this person. Okay? It's not just that they showed up at church for a given Sunday, but that there's something genuine working in them. May not be perfect, but they're legit, right? There's something about them that is just true to who they are trying to be or trying to become. He also says we need to show hospitality to strangers. So how comfortable are you with those that you don't know? How well do you interact with people who may be different from you or that you've just met? You know, the author of Hebrews says we need to love on strangers and show them hospitality because some have done so, and what have they done? They've entertained angels without even knowing it. Right? So what you've done to this person who is a stranger, it could have been just a work of God right there. It could have been least of these. You remember when Jesus said, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done how? You've done to me. So you've cared for the sick, the homeless, the imprisoned, those in poverty. Whatever you've done to the least of these, even these people who are strangers, showing hospitality, you've done to me. And so the writer here says, it's important that Christians have this distinct marker of showing hospitality specifically to strangers. Also, it talks about serving. So serve your fellow brothers. Serve those specifically within your church. It talks about sympathizing with those who are in prison, specifically Christians. So currently, I don't know if any of you receive a Voice of the Martyrs. There's a magazine that comes out every 2 months. Within that magazine, always they feature people who are Christians, our family, around the world who are being persecuted by being separated from their family. They're being tortured to the point of death. They're being put in prisons. I mean, this isn't just things that are way back in Nero's day. These are things that are going on present day. So we live it up in this country, right? We've got a lot of freedoms. We've got it pretty good. But for you and I to gather like this today in other areas might cost us our life. And so would that change attendance today? Maybe it would make it grow. Maybe it would make it less. I don't know. But here he says, you be mindful of the people, your brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering. Don't forget those people, specifically when you think you've got it pretty good. So show sympathy to those in prison. Show sympathy to those who are struggling. He says to model purity. So to be an example of purity, you'll find in Hebrews 13, marriage. Okay? Marriage. And it's outlined right there specifically. So we've got marriage. One man, one woman. That's God-defined marriage. We can call anything else, but we can't call it what? I'll say it. Marriage. Don't be afraid. Because it's not. It's like you calling me a pineapple tree. Can you call me a pineapple tree? You can if you want to, but does that make me a pineapple tree? No, so just because we want to change definitions to approve our lifestyle doesn't mean that it's right, that it's God-honoring. And so in Hebrews 13, you see where he says, model purity. This is what it's supposed to look like. Everything else is just, it's a perversion of what's beautiful and God ordained. And so he says model purity. He says to be content. He says to support your ministers and specifically those who have passed on. So think about the people in your life who've been significant spiritual influences among you. Maybe it was your mother, been a father, a brother, a sister. I don't know who it was, aunt or an uncle, a pastor. Remember them. Imitate their faith. Remember how they lived. Remember how they gave. Remember how they loved. And then honor how they lived by living your life in a similar way. So think about the people who have served you, who have ministered the word to you. And then he gets to this idea of sacrifice. One of the markers of a believer is that we should be people who are known as sacrificial people. All right, so here, let's go. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go down to about verse 16, okay? It says, let brotherly love continue. And do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Christ that the prophets served is the same Christ that your parents, spiritual leaders, my spiritual leaders have served. He's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it's good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So don't follow ceremony. Don't follow ritual. It's not eat this, don't eat that. Drink this, don't drink that. It's let the grace of Christ be at work within you. You're following Jesus. You're not following the law. Okay? And so don't think that you're earning favor by following the law. Don't think that you're honoring God by just being lawful. Live in the grace of God. Verse 10. We have an altar from which those who have served the tabernacle have no right to eat. And we'll talk through that. Verse 11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, those animals, they're burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So here this morning, I want to look through this text and really try to outline what it looks like to be sacrificial. What are these markers here that Paul, or that the writer of Hebrews, some say it's Paul, would say that should be at the heart of those who live as Christians. So three things we'll note today. If you're going to follow along in your bulletin, you don't have to, but it's there for your convenience. If you'd like to follow along, you can mark these as we progress. So here's the first thing. We bring a sacrifice to offer praise to God. You and I, we bring a sacrifice, so we bring an offering, and the thing that we're bringing is praise to God. So this is tied to the Old Testament way of thinking, right? Back in the Old Testament way, when you and I sinned, how did things work? We had to bring an animal, and that animal had to be a specific animal, and it had to be one that we could offer as a sacrifice. So when I sinned, so I came up and stole something from you, all right? And now I'm convicted about it, and I've got to go to the priest. And so I'm going to bring this animal, and what's the priest going to do with the animal? All right, so there's an altar, all right? There's an altar, and he's going to pick up this sheep or this lamb. He's going to lay it, or this goat, and lay it on the altar. He's going to take life from it. He's going to shed its blood, and then he's going to go use the blood to atone for my sins, okay? That's the Old Testament way of doing things. So we don't bring a sacrifice today, right? I don't think any of you have got your goats tied up outside. Why don't we do that anymore? All right, so the ultimate sacrifice has already been offered, right? And so let's read it here. We read it in Hebrews 10 this morning in our scripture, and here's Hebrews 9, 27, verse 28. Just as people are destined to die once, by the way, that includes you and I. Anybody got doctor's appointments this week? Any appointments this week? We may not know. We may have a death appointment this week. It's on the schedule. God's got it marked. He knows the exact moment. Everyone has a death appointment. That's what he says. Just as people are destined to die once, it's coming. After that, we'll face judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was sacrificed how many times? Once to take away the sins of many. Hebrews 10, we read this morning that the lamb was sacrificed once for how long? Forever, for all. And so at that point, it was no longer necessary to bring a sacrifice to the table. And so when Jesus came, he willingly laid himself down on a what? What is it? An altar. We call it a cross. But the New Testament cross, church, all that is the Old Testament altar. And so he laid on the altar just as a lamb would be laid on the altar to pay the price for sin. And he shed his blood there, right? He's the sacrificial Lamb of God. So when he died, he took away all sin. He paid the price for all sin. So we don't bring an animal anymore. He was and he is the spotless Lamb of God. So if we don't bring an animal, what do we bring? What am I supposed to bring? It says bring a sacrifice, so I don't know what to bring anymore. Jesus, he just took it from us. No, he says you bring a sacrifice of yourself, and the way that it's played out here is we bring a sacrifice of praise. We bring a sacrifice of praise. And let's read verse 15 once again. Through Jesus, therefore, so these are people who are Christians. It's to say, in Christ, you and I have come to him acknowledging our sin, asking him to save us. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God what? A sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So our sacrifice today is not a goat, it's not a lamb. It's we come in and we celebrate. We come in and worship in recognition of the Lamb who laid down on the altar and shed his blood so that sin could once for all be paid for. Right? So we celebrate today. We worship. We praise the one who gave his life so that you and I today could have forgiveness. So we bring him honor. We bring him worship. We bring him praise. And what he says here is this is to be the fruit of our lips. All right? The fruit of our lips. Is fruit good? Yeah, it's good. It's sweet. It's just, oh yeah, we like to eat it. So that should be what comes off of this. The goodness, the greatness of our Savior constantly, continually is what it speaks to. Let this always be on my lips. Let this always come out of my mouth as I think through what he's done for me. In Psalm 34, verse 1, David writes this way, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be where? On my lips. On my lips. And so the writer in Hebrews says that the sacrifice of praise should always be on my lips because of what he has done for me. And so I'm bringing something. I'm giving this offering to the Lord because of what he's done for me. Let's also notice how he says this should be. He says it's from our lips. So is he teaching us here you got to open and close your mouth to give praise? Is this some kind of like physical lesson on how to open your mouth and close your mouth? No, so he's not talking about it's got to come out that way. That's not the idea. It's not some literal teaching on how to open and close our mouth. The idea here is that there's no shame, there's no cowardice in worship. Right? He says there that we should openly profess. So when we come and gather here this morning, we've read in Psalm 138:1 this morning, I will praise you, O Lord, with my what? Not just my heart, my whole heart. Right? So that's the picture here. I will openly profess. I will openly give a sacrifice of praise and worship, but not just in the confines of this building. When I go out of here and somebody says, I'm a self-made man, I say, well, I'm a Jesus-made man. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not embarrassed of that. I'm not trying to convict you or condemn you. You're just saying, that's how you've come to be. I'm telling you how I've come to be. That's what it means. That's a sacrifice of praise everywhere, always. Let it flow from my lips. Let it come from my mouth. May I extol the Lord at all times. And so we bring a sacrifice of praise to God, church, and we do it openly. So think about the people in your life that don't know the Lord. Do they know that you know the Lord? I don't mean do they know that your car is not there on a Sunday morning. I mean, do they know that you love Jesus? Do they know that you've been forgiven? Do they know your story? Maybe they don't want that to be their story, and that's their position. But do they know? Do we openly profess and confess to those around us what God has done for us? Do we bring a sacrifice of praise? Or are we just willing to clap and applaud and enjoy it here in this little circle? Right? It's everywhere. Openly profess the great things the Lord has done for you. And so we bring a sacrifice, and initially it's this sacrifice of praise, this offering of praise to God. All right, let's go secondly here this morning. Secondly, we're going to bring a sacrifice to fulfill the purposes of God. We bring a sacrifice to fulfill the purposes of God. So remember, sacrifice is bringing something. Sacrifice is offering something. Okay? And so it's always from me to another, from me to God, sacrifice of praise. And now we're here, we're talking about from me to you, and from you to me, and from us to others. We're going to look to fulfill the purposes of God through our lives. See, my life, friend, has got to be wholeheartedly committed to fulfilling what God has for me. Always. And so let's go to the text here. We'll see how the writer outlines this for us. Talking about sacrifice. And do not forget. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. God is pleased. So what's the writer say here initially? And do not what? Do not forget. All right? When's the last time you forgot something? So just a couple minutes ago, right? Maybe it was earlier this morning. You ever go somewhere in your house and go, oh, what am I here for? That's so frustrating. I mean, I'm getting older. What am I? 38. I'll be 39 next month. It's terrible, isn't it? You're thinking, man, if I had a 38-year-old mind, I'd be sharp, I'd be spry, I'd be on the ball. I can't remember anything, Brother Herschel. I go home, or I come to the office after lunch, make sure, hey, will you pick this stuff up, honey, on the way home? Yeah, I got it taken care of. Walk in the door, and it's just like, I forgot. I got a reminder on my phone, I got a sticky note on my desk, and I still walk in and forget it. How does that happen? Oh, it's frustrating. Too much to do, yeah. Too much we think we need to do sometimes, you know. You got your hands in too many things sometimes. You need to let them go. And so he's reminding us here. Listen, bring a sacrifice of praise. We know that, right? If we say, why did we come to church this morning? We'd say something like, oh, to worship the Lord, to give thanks. We don't forget that when we're here. But sometimes we forget when we go out of this place that there's more to it than just coming in and bringing a sacrifice of praise. Don't misunderstand me. This is right and good. And I love when you're here. Man, when you sing and when you lift up a voice to the Lord, man, it blesses me. It makes me want to sing my guts out because I see you just pouring it out and you're just enjoying the Lord. That's what it's to be like. It's good. So I'm not minimizing the sacrifice of praise. I'm just saying it doesn't stop there. There has to be more to it than just walking into a building, thanking the Lord for what he's done, and then walking away. See, just because I've come here doesn't mean, okay, I've done my part. Everything's good for the week, and then I'll come back if God allows, and I'll do it again. I pray that you will. I pray God gives us next week. But I pray between now and then that we'll also be giving other sorts of sacrifices that this writer is outlining here for us this morning. And so this sacrifice is supposed to work in us. Think about the life of Jesus. When he gave his life as a sacrifice, definitely to pay for our sins, but it was also to model for us what it looks like to live on this planet and be sacrificial. So was Jesus a hoarder? I mean, I think if the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, I don't think he has a hoarding issue. Right? Any of us have hoarding issues? Don't answer that. We've got big barns full of stuff. We've got walls of shelves. We couldn't begin to tell you half of what's on that thing. We got stuff everywhere, and we got to hang on to it because that one day when it comes, I may need it. Sacrifice. When I think of how he laid it down and gave it all, that's what it's supposed to look like for me. So I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to work through some things, but when's the last time you sacrificed something for the Lord? When's the last time you remembered the altar, the lamb who shed his blood, the sacrifice, and it spurred you to go sacrifice for somebody else? When's the last time? How long has it been? See, that word sacrifice means that we suffer loss. It means there's cost. You may remember David. King David got himself in trouble, worked himself up to a frenzy. He wanted to have a census. He wanted to know how many fighting men he had. We're going to go and clean house, and I need to know how many soldiers we've got because we're the best in town. And God didn't approve. And the prophet came to David and said, listen, you've sinned against the Lord. And he said, yes, I have. And so I'm going to offer a sacrifice, seeking forgiveness. And so he went to a man who owned a threshing floor. And the man says, I'll give you everything. I'll even bring you the animals for the sacrifice. Whatever you want, king, it's all you. Just take it. Remember what David said? I will not sacrifice to my God something that cost me nothing. It's the idea this morning of me coming in saying, I'm going to give $10,000 in the offering plate as soon as you give it to me. You fill out the check. I'll put my name in the memo as though it's from me, like I'm giving some kind of great sacrifice. That sounds foolish, right? That's exactly what David was doing. I'm not going to give something and act like this is some great sacrifice when it costs me nothing. And so he pays the price for the land and for the animals, and he offers a sacrifice. It costs him to bring something to the Lord. Sacrifice always costs. So when we think about sacrifice, it's not just, Lord, I worship you openly here, but I'm going to be kind of tight-lipped when I get out of this place. And maybe, Lord, I love you with all my heart. I just can't stand people. I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard that excuse why people won't go to church. I love Jesus. I just have a hard time with people. You're going to hate heaven. I mean, come on. I love you, Lord. I just don't love others. Or, Lord, I'll give you everything that I have. But you need a dollar? I just can't do that today. It's Mother's Day. I got to buy a card. I got to get some flowers. Pay for a meal. And you need 10 bucks. You need 20 bucks. I can't help you. I mean, where was Jesus when he was hanging on the cross? Did he say, Father, listen, this is just too costly. You know, let's reconsider, because this sacrifice is too great. They're just not worth it. These are just scoundrel people. They've made a wreck of their life, and we're trying to take care of it? No, he willingly laid it down, and he looked at people just like you and I, and he said, just forgive them, because they just don't get it. One day they will, but today they don't. So the sacrifice is not just towards the Lord without extending it to others, is what I'm trying to get at. Right? If I'm going to openly profess it here, it means I should openly profess it where? Everywhere. And friend, if I'm not going to profess it anywhere outside this wall, it makes no difference if I come in here and profess it. You remember in the scriptures where Jesus said, if you come in and you bring an offering to the altar and you got problems with a brother, what do? You go to that brother and you straighten out things. Then you come bring me the offering and then I'll accept it from you. But you think you can walk in here and give me praise and yet you're not willing to give me praise outside of here. You've been misled. To say that I love the Lord is to be able to say to someone else that I don't even know, and I love you too. And they may look me and you in the eye and say, I can't stand you. I don't know you. Hey, that's all right, friend. Can I help you? Is there something you need? I see you're struggling. Is there anything I can do for you? Can I just pray with you? You know, I just live right over here. If you ever need something, I can help. And that's what it looks like. When I say I love the Lord, there should be an extension of that love towards other people. And when I say, Lord, here's 100% of my income, here's 100% of my knowledge, here's 100% of my experience, here's 100% of me, I need to be willing to say, and here's 100% of me. How can I help you? What do you need? You need 50 bucks? Well, listen, I got a motorcycle payment, and I got a boat payment, and I got a house payment, and I got 4 car payments, and I just spent $1,000 on clothes, and I'm trying to buy this gun, and so I don't have 50 bucks to help you. Does that sound right? No. Now, the Bible teaches that if you're not going to work, you're not going to eat, so we're not going to reward laziness. But we are to be these extenders of sacrifice. Right here, you remember what he says? And don't forget. Don't forget to do good works. And then he says, and don't forget to share. Ephesians 4:28 reminds us, you and I have the privilege of working so that we may be a blessing to someone else with what we earn. Not so I can tie up 100% in the Penn family, but so that I may be able to give and help somebody in need. This writer here has given us a great secret, all right, to help us through some of this, because this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes it's easy to walk in here and give praise, and sometimes it's hard to walk out of here and help somebody else. And so he says, here, I'm going to help you out. Verse 5, let's go there. Hebrews 13. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money. And then be what? What's that word? And be content with what you have. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Listen, what will determine here whether or not you and I live a life of sacrifice is whether or not we are content in Christ. And so if I can look at my life and see that I'm not very generous, that I'm not a reflection of Christ, then what it means is I've got a contentment issue. I'm just not happy until I get X, Y, Z. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. The idea here is this: I'm content today. I'm content with where the Lord has placed me today. I'm content with the plans of the Lord for me today. I'm content with my health today. Doesn't mean I'm striving to do better. Doesn't mean I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do my part. But the Lord, this is where I am today, and I'm going to be content in the Lord. You know, we like to quote Philippians 4:13. Somebody tell me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What's the context there? What do those preceding verses say? Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, in want, and I know what it is to have plenty. So I know what it is to have abundance in my checking account, and I know what it is when I got bills to pay and I'm at a goose egg. And I know what it is when we're eating steak, and I know what it is when we're eating beanie weenies. And I know what, and we can go back and forth. I know what it is to be on the hill, and I know what it is to be in the valley. But what I've learned, the secret is, in wherever position I am, is to be content. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can be content with beanie weenies and a broke bank account. But I can also be content over here because my contentment is not relying on these things. My contentment is in Jesus. And what we read in the text, Jesus is the same when? Yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. And so when my contentment is rooted there, it may be salary increase, it may be salary decrease. It may mean abundance of friends, it may mean we think you stink. You fill in the scenario. I've got a good dating relationship and I just got dumped. Got a puppy for Christmas and we just buried it. Right? It does not matter my situation. Those things cannot determine, should not determine my contentment. And so it's the idea of today. So are you content? Are we content? Remember, it's not about I was content. Man, when my health was good, when I could run, when I didn't have to go to the doctor every week, I could just do what I wanted, I was content then. Remember the good old days when gas was a nickel and bread was a penny? Oh, good old days. Maybe that's way back. And I'm not suggesting any of you were back then, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm just trying to make a point. Sometimes we relive the good old days like today just stinks. That's a contentment issue. It's a Jesus issue. It's not a money issue, it's not a job issue, it's not a marriage issue, it's not a kid issue. It's a contentment in Christ issue. Am I content with my lot today? What Jesus promises here and what this writer says is that just because the reason that he doesn't change says to me that I can always have confidence. I can always find these things to be true. So let's go back. We're going to read verse 5. And then we're going to follow it into verse 6, and we'll see how this all ties together. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Okay, we read that. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Knowing that, then verse 6, so we say with confidence, Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And so the picture here is I am content because when's the Lord going to leave me? Never. So situations fluctuate, but he'll never leave me. And so my contentment is rooted in him. And the word says there, he's going to be my helper, right? So when I'm struggling, the Lord is my helper. He'll be right there to assist. And so I have no reason to be afraid, none whatsoever, because the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. Therefore, it will equip me to fulfill the purposes of God. What are those good purposes? What we just read. It's about being generous, sharing with other people, and sharing in the sense that we talked earlier about openly professing the good things the Lord has done for us. So we bring sacrifice to fulfill the purposes of God. And then third and last here this morning, we bring a sacrifice to be pleasing to God. And this is kind of the sum all. This would be the catch-all of everything. See, the goal at all times should always be the pleasure of God. You say, well, it sounds like he's a glory hog. What about my pleasure? What about making me happy? What about throwing this dog a bone every now and again? The goal at all times should be to please God. Now, let's get something straight here this morning. Our pleasing him does not save us. Right? Pleasing the Lord doesn't mean, well, okay, I'm just holding you over hell and you're just barely out of it. It doesn't work that way. We are saved by grace through faith, and that's in Christ alone. We're kept saved by grace through faith, and that's in Christ alone. Okay, so our bringing pleasure is not trying to earn his favor. Maybe you've tried to get on somebody's good side before. Have you ever done that? My boss has said do X, Y, Z, but then I'm going to do a little bit more because I want to get on his good side. So when there's a position open that I want, maybe he'll think of me first. Or my parents said, clean your room and wash the dishes, but I also clean the bathroom because there's this new clothes that I want or this new toy that I want or this new car that I want. So I'm going to do this, 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 and I'm going to get on their good side. Listen, we don't earn God's favor, his blessing, because we do good things. That's to have a wrong motivation. We live to please the Lord, and here we're at this thing again, but we live to please him because this brings our deepest fulfillment. There's no greater satisfaction on the planet than pleasing God. And you may say, oh man, mom's cooking is good. Hey, no doubt. But it's not near as fulfilling as living to please the Lord. You wouldn't say, man, riding down the road in that convertible top or those two wheelers and letting the wind blow through your hair, there's nothing like it. I'd have to take your word for it. But what I tell you is, it's not near as fulfilling as living your life for the Lord. Pleasing him, honoring him, because that's how you've been created. That's how this machine functions. And when I function the way I've been created and fashioned to function, everything just works like it's supposed to. I find great delight in his pleasure. So it's not, oh, I got to do something for the Lord today. Or here, I'll help you. I guess I'll pray with you. I'm going to try to do something. No, we've got it wrong if we tend to think in those terms. So let's go back to the text and we'll see the heart here. Verse 16. It says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, what is it? God is pleased. See, God finds pleasure in fulfilling us. God finds pleasure in delighting us. And what he has said is you'll find your greatest delight when you live a life of sacrifice. You remember the writer of Hebrews talks about the Son laying down his life. And he said, I lay it down for the joy set before me. Yes, it cost him his life. Yes, he bore sin and shame and sorrow and grief and frustration and agony on the cross. But there was a fulfillment there as well in our Savior. It wasn't just void of experience. Remember John 17, 4, he says, I've brought you glory by fulfilling my work. So there's this fulfillment, there's this enjoyment, there's this delight when we live lives that are sacrificial. And that's how it's supposed to work. So when I bring a sacrifice to praise to God, God just kind of reflects that back to me. He says, I love you, son. Thank you. I love you, daughter. I just want to bless you. It just comes back to us that way. And it's the same way when we give openly, when we pray openly, when we love people who can't stand us, there is a fulfillment there. It doesn't mean we enjoy the persecution. It means we enjoy the pleasure. You may think horribly of me right now, but my Father is pleased. And I have no greater delight than when my Father is pleased. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. kind of outlines this whole scenario. Paul in Romans has outlined all that Christ has done for us. And now we're going to talk then in view of all this, in view of Jesus and what he has done. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all these things, I want to encourage you and urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and this is your proper worship. Once again, friend, there's nothing like living your life to honor and please the Lord. So if it's my marriage relationship and my focus is my wife's pleasure, I'm missing it. Doesn't mean you won't find pleasure there. It just means you're not getting the greatest delight. You're missing the way you've been created. If your greatest fulfillment is to try to please your husband or to work for your kids, you're missing it. When we live to please our Lord, I'm going to love my wife and I'm going to enjoy the blessing of her and I'm going to love my children. I'm going to enjoy the gift of them. But the greatest gift is that God is honored. He's pleased. And once again, that brings us great delight. So I want you to think about for a minute, when you offer sacrifice, when that opportunity is there, what wells up in you? Is it drudgery? I don't like to sing, but I'll sing this song. That's what Christians do. And I'm kind of broke and I don't have any money. Here you go. It's just kind of this, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it because that's what I'm supposed to do. Listen, if that's how it's working for you, it's an eye issue. You ever seen things blurry? Have blurry vision? Here again, it's starting to kick in. Right? If I'm sitting down and I'm reading something right here and I try to look up and read there, I have no clue. I have no idea what it says. So I understand blurry vision. What I need is something to correct my vision. I need to be able to fix my eyes so I can focus. And that's what we need to do here. If it's about drudgery, it's about, I got to go to church. I can't believe I don't. And it's just guilt-driven. It shouldn't be guilt-driven. It should be grace-driven. Thankful for what God has done. And so fix my eyes. Fix your eyes on the altar, which is the cross. Fix your eyes on the Lamb and the sacrifice that he laid out for you. And then receive the calling here. Receive the challenge to go and live likewise. And when we do so, we please our Father. We please and we honor our Father. So Paul says to go live your lives as a sacrifice to God. In some of those translations, he says, this is your reasonable response. In view of everything God has done for you, some would say, that's just crazy. I'm not going to be committed to give him 100% of my time or my money or my family. I'm not committed to that far. That sounds kind of absurd. Paul says it just sounds reasonable. It just sounds like common sense. In view of everything God has done for you, live your life as a sacrifice of God, pleasing to him. It's just a reasonable act of worship. So here together this morning, guys, we've tried to look into this idea of sacrifice. We've tried to understand a little bit about the Old Testament altar and what it meant in the New Testament, what it means for you and I here today. And we've seen that everything that we're looking for can be found in Jesus. So he sacrificed for us. Why? So that in turn we would worship him. Why would we worship him? Because of what he has done for us. And we demonstrate that we love him by how we love one another. We demonstrate that we understand what he did for us in giving openly by giving openly to other people. If I'm stingy, then I just don't understand what Jesus did for me. Because he didn't have to die, but he did. He chose to so that I could be forgiven. And so here again, I need that perspective to be fixed. And what we've wrapped it up with is in all ways we are to live to acknowledge our God, our Father, and to be pleasing to him. Listen, you could exaggerate me in a lot of ways, right? I mean, if you wanted to say all sorts of good things, and we do this with people all the time. It happens a lot of times when people pass away. You know, we make the sinner this saint. She was the greatest person on the planet, really. And people, we could say that about one another, right? Oh, you're the greatest man alive. You're the greatest woman alive. And that would be a what? That would be an exaggeration, right? We're trying to be kind. I love you, honey. You're the greatest guy on the planet. Thank you for the exaggeration. But when it comes to God, there is no way to exaggerate His greatness. There's nothing that we could say that would be above how good He is. You know what I'm saying? We could praise God forever. All I'm really trying to say is He's worthy of everything we could bring all day, every day. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Always praising Him. Always telling people about how great He is. And we just begin to touch the reality of how great He is. We don't have words to describe Him. And so He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of us living lives of sacrifice. He's worthy of me waking up and before my feet hit the floor saying, "This day, Your pleasure. Help me to honor You how I love my wife. Help me to honor You and how I love my children. Help me to honor You with all the opportunities today. This day, Your pleasure." And so what I wonder today is this. First, have you received the sacrifice of Jesus? What I mean by that is this. Have you just trusted in Jesus to save you from your sins? Remember, it's not about doing good. You can't earn the Father's favor. He's just blessed us with a gift. And He says, if you'll humble yourself and acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, if you call out to Me, I'll save you. Not because you deserve it, but because I love you. Not because you can earn it, because it's just a gracious gift to you. Always will be. Maybe today you'd like to receive Christ. Maybe you sit here this morning, though, and you'd say, yeah, I've already received Christ. I know that I'm a believer. I know I'm part of the family. I just wonder, are you striving to fulfill His purpose with your life? Again, when's the last time you sacrificed for somebody else because of how Jesus has sacrificed for you? When's the last time I've done that? If that's to be a marker of my life, that should occur frequently. When I praise the Lord, do I praise Him with my whole heart? Do I bring a sacrifice of praise? Do I wake up to please and honor my Lord? I just want to encourage you today to commit your life to this end. Let my life confirm these truths. Let my life preach that You are worthy of praise. Let my life preach that all the good that we do is for Your glory and honor. Let my life preach that He's worthy of living my life for His pleasure.